Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Hello everyone, I'm Timothy Dockery. Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood couldn't be with us tonight, so I'm on here to get everybody turned on. And we've got Evangelist Clint and Joanna Green. They're up in Springboro, Ohio, and I'm going to let them take it over right now.
Praise God. Good to be here, and thank you for joining in. This is Reaching the World for Christ Around the World, and so glad this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we've got several prayer requests that we would want everyone to pray about. And I just hold everyone up and lift them up in prayer. And I want you to pray for Brother and Sister Yearwood. They have taken a child that they are taking care of to the hospital. I believe he's going to be just fine as soon as he starts taking the medication that the doctors have given him. We have a phone number here. If you'd like to be part of this broadcast, we'd love for you to call in. That is 310-742-1759. I'm going to repeat that again. If you'd like to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 310-742-1759. We're going to have Rachel here. She's our daughter. She's 10 years old, and we just thank the Lord for her, and she's going to come in and read a scripture for you.
And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Praise God. She does a good job there. And so tonight's subject is no one can pluck you out of God's hand. And right now we're going to have Brother Timothy. Is there more callers on, Brother?
Not yet.
Okay. We're going to have Brother Green. He's going to come in and say some scriptures here that the Lord's laid on his heart, and we're just going to obey God. And Brother Timothy, you'll be singing here shortly, and we'll just go with it from there. Praise God.
Okay, it's good to be with you. And it's a touchy subject tonight, I know, for some people. But I tell you, it's a good thing that nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand. And I'm glad tonight we have security in Christ. And as long as we abide in Him, and allow Him to abide in us, we will never have to worry about somebody taking your name out of the book of life, because, you know, the Lord put your name in there, and when you repented of your sins, and He has the ability to keep your name in the book of life, and no man has higher authority than the Lord Jesus Christ, except the Father above. And He has given all authority into the Son at this particular time. And someday the Son will deliver everything back to the Father. But right now the Father has put all things into the Lord's hands, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read this scripture one more time. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, I'll add to it a little bit here. It says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So you see, they was upset with Jesus because here he was in the flesh, here he was telling the big wheels of the church at that particular time, he was telling them that he was the Son of God and that he had come in his Father's name, and that meant that his Father had sent him and commissioned him to go into the world and do what he did. And one of his commandments was that he had to go to that cross and he had to die for our sins. And he did that to pay the payment that Adam had lost, the first Adam in the garden. You know, he had eternal life when he was in that garden. And he had, if you want to call it that, eternal security. Because, see, we're dealing with a God that is an eternal God. And he can keep his covenant today, and he can keep it tomorrow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he don't lose no power. He is able to do what that he said he would do. And we have confidence tonight as Christians, being born-again believers, that Christ will keep our name in that Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm so glad that it's that way, that nobody, you know, they might can put you out of the church. They might can take your name off the board. They might can demote you from being a deacon, an elder, or whatever it is, or maybe you're a pastor and they've come against you and they put you out of their church. But you can be out of the church that the man, some man made, but if you're in the church of God, the worldwide, I want to say, the universal church that God has built, then they'll never be able to take your name out. They can take you off the board, like I say, and they can blaspheme your name, and they can say all things about you. But I thank God that God has the record. And one day the books will be opened, and the works is going to be there, whatever we've done. And the greatest work we could ever do would be to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him for eternal life. I know sometimes, you know, Job probably thought that he was maybe taken out of the book if he knew anything about the Book of Life, and I think he did. But Job knew something about God. He said, it could be that my sons have sinned against God, and he would go out and he would make sacrifices for his son or his sons. And thing about it was, Job went through some terrible trials and probably looked like that God was 100 miles away, that he wasn't hearing his prayers. And, you know, all the sacrifices he had made looked like had went down the drain because his sons and his daughters were partying and living it up and like acting like the judgment would never come. But, you know, we know today, you and I today know that the judgment will come and that Christ will come back and set up his kingdom. And those that are in the palm of his hand, he's going to bring them back with him. And we're secure today in Christ. And, you know, I'm Pentecostal myself. I believe you can backslide and you can get out of grace. But I'm also Baptist, as far as it goes. As far, you know, as I know that God is able to keep me, he's able to keep me against that day. He's able to keep me from falling, and he is able to present me blameless before the Lord at that judgment day or that judgment seat of Christ when we go to receive our rewards. And I want to get a few rewards myself. I don't want to be left without any rewards. I'm going to
Hey, Joanne, are y'all still there? Clint and Joanne, are y'all still there? Is Clint and Joanna still on? Did something happen to Clint and Joanna? Hey, Clint, are you back?
Yes, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay,
yeah.
I don't know what happened.
That's true, because I couldn't even hear through either, and it went muted off of me, too.
We're just having trouble, Sister Frida.
I knew if I didn't call that you would have a hissy fit if I didn't at least get in here. I'm Christmas shopping, but I wanted to touch base with you. Go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead and let whoever else goes.
Okay. I don't know. Did you guys get to hear Brother Green preach right there a little bit?
I did. Is that who was last just a few minutes ago?
Timothy, did you hear Sister Rachel read her scripture?
Yeah, I heard Clint for a little while, and then he started breaking up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't hear Sister Rachel.
Okay. We're going to have 706 come in. And is that you, Sister Frida?
It is.
Okay. Did you get to go yet? Because I lost everybody there for a minute.
Well, I had to call back.
Oh, okay. That's okay. We had to log out of the computer, so we don't know what quite happened. Go ahead
okay.
and obey the Lord, sis.
Well, I'm Christmas shopping, but I wanted to call and say thank you for whatever y'all done for praying. It is working. I got to talk to her Sunday morning before I went to church, and I've had a good Sunday. Was good. Yesterday was good, and today's been pretty decent too. So. But I thanks for the prayers. I'm getting there, but it's going to take time. But I'm blessed. Everything's working out okay.
Ooh, praise the Lord. Amen. Sis, you got some scriptures there you want to share with us?
Well, I don't have my Bible with me, but I was reading John 2, and it was talking about where I was in the world, everything that's going on in the world that people don't want to accept what's going on. I read it earlier this morning, but I didn't have a Bible with me. But it was in 1 John 2, I think it was, and it quite a bit. Started in verse 1 and went through maybe 15. Have you got your Bible with you? Can you read it?
I do have it. Brother Green's going to read
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm looking for it right now. Chapter 2.
Yeah, 1 John chapter 2, and it starts with verse 1.
Says, my little children, these things write I unto
yes,
you.
That's it. That's it.
Sin not. And if
yes.
any man sin, we have an advocate
mm-hmm.
with the Father, Jesus
right.
Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, how much of that you want me to read there?
I went down to, I think it was maybe the 14th or 15th verse.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll elaborate on it. Do you want to elaborate on it?
No, it was just, people just don't understand. They think you're supposed to be in this world, but you don't have to be. You can stay in this world, but you don't have to partake of what's in this world. That's what my understanding was. But, you know, people don't see it that way. They think, well, since we live in this world, we have to partake of the world. We don't. We have to get our lives in position with the Spirit and let the Lord deal with us through the Spirit, not through the flesh.
Yeah, amen. So, I think I got a little bit of it here, what you're talking about. It says in the 15th verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If
true.
Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that
right.
is the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
True.
So, is that what you was true. Looking at?
That's what I was reading, yes. Yes, that was it. So, I appreciate that. Where's Brother and Sister Yearwood? They're not there tonight?
Praise God. We announced it, Sister Frieda. They had to take a little boy to the hospital, so we already requested prayer. So, keep him in prayer. We're going to have 770 come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Brother John? Oh, gracious. I bet that's who it was.
It's okay. Brother Timothy, why don't you care to go ahead and get a song, and we're going to get some scriptures going here, brother.
Are y'all ready now? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I started out to walk in the light, shining upon thee from heaven so bright.
He's singing.
I made this world. And it's falling adieu. Lord, I started in Jesus, and I'm going through. I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take this way with my Lord beside me. I have started in Jesus, and I'm going through. I'd rather walk with Jesus alone, have for my pillow. I've taken a stone, leaving each moment with his face in my view. Lord, I started in Jesus, and I'm going through. I'm going through, yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take this way with my Lord despite me. I have started in Jesus, and I'm going through.
Praise God. That's a great song we're going through with Jesus. Hallelujah. And we sure love the Lord tonight. And the Lord's given me a scripture here that I feel like he wants me to read. If you want to be part of this broadcast, Brother and Sister Yearwood, they're not able to be with us tonight, and they've asked us to do the broadcast. So we're trying to do our best to fill in. And, you know, the Lord is good. Like I said earlier, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Hallelujah. If you want to be part of this broadcast, call in at 310-742-1759. Now, the Lord give me Revelations chapter 3, the verse, the subject tonight is no one can take you out of God's hand, or no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. And if you'll go with me to Revelations chapter 3, verse 4 says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5 in chapter 3 of Revelation says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So he's talking to you and I that are born again tonight. He was talking about how here that if they overcome, they was conditioned to this. And, you know, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and nobody can take you out of the hand of God but you. You are the only one, and how do you do that? Is how do you get your name taken out? He will not blot your name out if you keep his commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Praise the Lord. He told us here in verse 5, Revelation 3, to be overcomers. And he said, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. You will wear a robe of righteousness. Praise the Lord. When my daughter was 2 years old, we're talking about Amy. She's 23 now. And she was 2 years old, and my mother kept asking me, Joanna, will you go to church with me? And I kept making all kind of excuses why I couldn't. I didn't have a dress. I didn't have a skirt. And, you know, I knew enough that I would want to respect the house of the Lord if I went there, that I would want to put on a dress or a skirt. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I had excuses why I wouldn't go. And my little girl, 2 years old, she says, Mommy, she says, when you get little like me, she said, you could wear my dresses. And, you know, after now that I've given my heart to the Lord 21 years ago almost, I think back about that and how much wisdom, you know, out of the mouth of babes, how much wisdom she had. If I humbled myself down as a child, praise the Lord, that I could wear the robe of righteousness that she wore. Praise God. And you know, we can wear that robe of righteousness. We're to follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. We're not to have any guile in our mouth. We're not to thrust one another. We're not to, walk and not to break rank with each other. And, you know, if you see your brother taken in a fault, you're supposed to go to him and restore him with meekness and kindness and restore such a one. Praise the Lord. And it says if you have aught, if you have been offended or you offended your brothers, to take your gift, lay it on the altar, go and reconcile back to your brother or your sister in forgiveness, and then go back to the altar and offer your gift to the Lord. So, you know, there's ways that we can take our name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. We can take ourselves out of the palm, out of the hand of God. But nobody else can do it. We can't say that the devil made me do it. We're to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. Praise God. And, you know, if you walk upright, like Sister Frieda's talking about there, that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We don't have to do the things just because our neighbors or the crowd is doing the things that are ungodly and sinning. If you're on your job, your workplace, and they're telling bad jokes, You don't have to chime in. You can walk away. You don't have to be mean and hateful and have an attitude, because you'll never win them over to the Lord. But you could walk away and not to cast your pearls before the swine. You can't tell them you're going to go down to where the devil someday is going to be and start hollering. Now, if they ask you and they come to you and they really want counsel, you must have something to tell them. Praise God. Get yourself full of the Word of God, so that when someone comes to you and wants to know about this, what is this being born again that you're talking about? What is this, your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And you'll have an answer, praise the Lord, with being humble. Praise God. Not this moment. What about 770? Are you there, Brother John? So Brother Timothy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, 770, are you ready? Okay, we're going to have Brother Green to come in, and he's going to give you some more there what the Lord has given him. Praise God. How many's glad? How many can hear me out there? Say amen.
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 Praise God. Okay, so here's Brother Green.
Praise God.
I need a light.
Well, I'm going to go back here to where Sister Frieda was talking about and elaborate on that just a little bit here. We look here at 1 John chapter 2. And verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Notice there it says the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So he's talking about two different types of people there. He's talking about the people that run after the world and everything that's in the world, and they give no time to God, and they don't think about their spiritual life. They only think about what they can get in this life, and they don't, they're not concerned, or they pay no attention about the fact that they're going to die one day, and they're going to have to give an account before God, and he's going to ask them, what did you do with the life I gave you? So, you see, we must go through this life, but we must go through it differently if we call ourselves a Christian. We have to go through this life thinking about the life to come, about the world to come, how that this world is going to perish, you know. One day God told Noah, said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. And he told Noah, he said, build an ark. And Noah worked on that ark until the day that God shut the door and shut him and his three sons and his three daughter-in-laws, and also his wife. And so they escaped the wrath that came upon that generation. That generation of that day was only thinking about the day that they lived in. They was thinking about, like Jesus said in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that again in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They're going to build, they're going to plant, they're going to be doing all these things. They're going to be working and plowing the fields and doing all this and planting their orchards. And they're going to be marrying and giving in marriage. They're going to, you know, as long as this world lasts, there's still going to be people that will marry one another. Hopefully they'll find a man, find him a wife, or a wife, you know, a woman find her a man, and they two shall be one flesh, and that'll still be going on. And the Bible said there until the day that God shuts the door, and like he did in the days of Noah. And we can't love the world, fall in love with this world, and forget about the world to come. And that's a good thing that Frieda brought up there. I want to read over here in the book of Genesis. Hope everybody can still hear me. In chapter 3 of Genesis, and they were placed, the man, Adam, and his wife, Eve, were placed in a beautiful garden, and they had everything they needed. And there was no man there to pluck them out of the Father's hand. They were saved or in a saved condition, and they were in a sinless condition. There was no sins committed by them until this day that Eve partook of this fruit off of this tree. And in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible said in verse 6, "And when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made them aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." See that they had committed the first sin of mankind. They had broken the law of God. They had crossed over the line. They had done what the Lord told them not to do. But the thing about it was, it was the woman saw, she saw with her eyes that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. And she was concerned about the day right then, that very moment, that particular time, like people are today. They're concerned about, well, I'm going to get me a fancier automobile, or a young person probably thinking about something, getting me a hot rod. But see, they're thinking about a lot of things that's not really bad things, but the problem is they're not thinking about God, and they're not their life, eternal life. They're not thinking about, what can I do for Jesus? What can I do to win lost souls? Because if you look around, probably if you live in a town, on a street in a town, and you look across the street and up and down the street, and you see people every day that are not Christians. They're not saved. Many of them are not, and some of them are. But we're to try to reach those people that are not saved. We're trying to tell them that there is a wrath of God that's going to be poured out again upon this world, and it won't be water this time. It'll be fire, and everything's going to be destroyed, and there's not going to be anyone left in the end except the Christians, and they're going to possess the kingdom. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 7 that the saints of the Most High shall possess the kingdom, and that it'll be an everlasting kingdom, and it'll be a kingdom that'll never pass away. And I'm thankful that I'm in that kingdom today, not in the literal kingdom on earth when Jesus comes to set it up yet. He's not come back yet. He's waiting just a little bit longer, waiting for souls to be saved, because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And people are walking right on by the church houses. They hear the church bells are ringing on Sunday morning, and they see the cars, and they see the people going in, carrying their Bibles, many of them. And sometimes they see them coming out after church is over, and they're just going home watching their TV or doing whatever it is they do. drinking their beer, smoking their cigarettes, and just living for today. But, see, we need not to live just for today. I mean, we have to live today, but we've got to think about tomorrow. We've got to think about when Jesus comes again. And there's not a day goes by that I don't think about the Lord. And there's a song that says, when you see me coming, I got him on my mind. And that's the way it ought to be for a Christian. Well, wherever you see us at, we ought to have Jesus on our mind. We ought to have a scripture on our mind. We ought to have a thinking about things eternal instead of things that are temporal. The Bible says the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal. We know that there's angels all around us watching over us, and we can't see them. We know there's records being written and being made on the things that we speak and say every day, and how we treat people, and the works we do for Christ, and every idle word, the Bible says, we'll have to give an account someday. And we're talking about no man's able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. And that's a wonderful thing that nobody's able to. But we see this here account in the book of Genesis in chapter 3 of Genesis. And we see how Eve looked at that tree, saw it was good, and she lusted after it. It's what she done. She wanted it. And it says here, a tree to be desired and to make one wise. See, the devil had lied to her, and he does that to people. He tries to paint a pretty picture, but he don't show you behind that picture. After you've finished up smoking all them cigarettes, you ain't going to be that big, strong, healthy guy riding that horse there in that Marlboro country. You'll be on probably a lung transplant list, and down the road 20, 30, 40 years, and hardly getting around. But I tell you, we can live a good life. We can have abundant life in Christ. John 10:10, the Bible said he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He didn't come just to make life hard on us, but he come, the Bible said that he, John chapter, I believe it's the 3rd John, verse 1 or 2, said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be so prosperous. So God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be in good health. And a lot of times people are not in good health because of the decisions that they make in life. They take up drinking and alcohol and drugs and different things. But if you're on that kind of stuff tonight, there's a remedy, and Christ Jesus is that remedy. He paid it all, paid it on the cross, paid it in full, paid the price, and took the shame and bore our sins in his own body, and hung between two thieves. They put him between two thieves and crucified him. And even when he was dying, one of the thieves said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He on the cross was a testimony to that thief. And that thief saw that there was something in Christ that he wanted. And he believed in eternal life. And he believed in life after death. See, if we don't believe in life after death, we're just going to live in this world, just drink and be merry and just have a good time, because this is all there is. But I want you to know tonight that out there that this is not all there is. This is just a dressing room, and we're getting ready to go. We're getting ready to meet the Lord.
Amen.
And I thought about Queen Esther there in the Bible. Before she could come before the king, she had to dress herself up. she had to go through a purification process. I mean, she had to be clean, and she had to be spotless, and she had to be white, and she had to be beautiful. And, you know, the Bible said that he would beautify the meek with salvation. It's a picture of salvation, and it's a picture of sanctification before she could go before the king. And, you know, he had to hold out that golden scepter when she started to come into his presence, and that would let her come in. But if he didn't hold out that golden scepter, she could not come in. And if she come in uninvited, it could cost her life. And, you know, we're invited tonight, and we've got our invitation. And Jesus invited us all at Calvary when he stretched his arms out on that cross, and they nailed him to that cross. And he had made the statement that whosoever will could come and take of the water of life freely. And that's what his mission was all about down here on earth. He went about doing good, and he went about trying to get souls saved. And see, he don't want us to get out of the Father's hand tonight. He wants us to get in the Father's hand. He wants us to come unto him. The Bible said, he said there in Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's people out there who need some rest because of the lifestyle they're living. And I tell you, there is a rest in Christ. He's our Sabbath day rest. He's Christmas to me. You know, I have Christmas every day of the year. I don't just have it one day and that's all it is. But I have it every day because I have Christ, and he's the reason for the season. And I'm going to turn it back to Sister Joanna here for a little while.
Praise God. If you want to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 310-742-1759. And again, we want you to remember, brother and sister, your word and prayer. They've asked us to do the broadcast tonight. They had to take the youngin' that they take care of to the hospital. But I believe he's going to be all right as soon as they give him his antibiotics that he's going to be starting. And hopefully, brother and sister, your word, they're on their way home. And we just appreciate them and thank the Lord for this broadcast. And it's reaching the world for Christ around the world. And again, if you want to be part of this, we encourage you to call in at 310-742-1759. And we just believe this is a privilege to be on here. And I see another caller here, 310-747. Come in and tell us who you are and where you're located. Sister Gladys, that might be you, sis. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. My number is 661.
Okay, that number's not showing up tonight, but right ahead, sis.
Okay, it's cutting in now on my end. I just kept thinking it was my microphone. Not sure if you can hear me or not, can
you? We hear you real good and clear.
Okay, good. Brother Clint may have already covered these scriptures on John 10:28 through 29. But if so, I'm going to go ahead and read them anyway. It's, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The way God has set it up is we can come to the Lord and ask him for our forgiveness, and Jesus will come into our life and save our souls. If we repent of our sins, he wipes all those sins all completely away, and I give him glory for all of that, because many of us have sinned, and it's only by the grace of God that we are clean and washed in the blood, and I thank him for that. I know this much. Many people are confused today. They want to blame everybody else if they sin. They say, the devil made me do it. No, we have a free will, just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. And it was their choice to sin against God. He told them not to do things, and they went ahead and did it. But I know in the 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I have to say that I'm grieved in my spirit tonight. I've been thinking about what this is about tonight. You know, I reread my messages and realized this was the main subject of what we're talking about. But I know this much. There are backsliders. I was one day. Whenever I fell away, I grew cold on the Lord. And many scriptures tell us that if you don't keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, then you can't have perfect peace. But I know if I do seek the will of God and I renew my mind daily, that I can grow closer to the Lord. He said, "Seek my face, seek me daily." And many times if we leave the Bible on our shelf, many of them become dust, cloths is what they've become in the house, you know, outside of the home. You'll see many people's Bibles sitting in the pews. And if they only have one Bible, then they can't read the Word of God. And it's just like anything else. If we don't eat day after day, then we're going to get hungry. We're going to grow cold in the Lord when it comes to our relationship with God. And if we don't feed ourselves, it's just like our natural bodies. We'll grow weak in body. And that's what I'm trying to say, that if we don't seek God's face, then our relationship will get cold. It's just like a marriage. You know, there's an intimacy about this. It's not a sexual type. It's a growth in spiritual growth with God. And he wants us to grow closer and closer to him. He will lift us up when we're down. He'll encourage us when we're weak in body. And I thank him for his healing power. And I thank him that he will always keep us day after day. I've got my scriptures kind of mixed up tonight, but I know and believe that he said that if we seek him, we will hear his voice. He said in John 10 that we would hear his voice. And we would follow after him. You know, the sheep of the Lord will hear his voice and follow not anyone else. But it says in John 10:13, he said, "The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep." There are many pastors in body today, and I'm not saying all and clear across the board, that they get paid a salary. And some of them don't have the true heart of a pastor. But I know many do. But he said in John 10:15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus has already paid the price for our sins, and he's already paid the price for our salvation. And it's only our free will that will pluck us out of the hand of God. You know, there is such a thing as backsliding. I met a Baptistical today. She speaks in tongues. But when we first met, she said, salvation is secure, and there is a security in God if you live it. There's a security in God if you search the scriptures and you live what the true word of God says. It says by his grace is what some of the Baptists, and I'm not throwing off on Baptists because I love them all. And like I said, this friend of mine, in the beginning of our fellowship and our friendship, I said, because I know that a believer can backslide. If they get cold in the Lord and they don't follow the scriptures and they don't follow Christ wholeheartedly, they can backslide. And my heart goes out to the backsliders today. If you hear my voice, listen and know that even the Holy Spirit, even if you've walked away from God, he'll speak to you. I went to a party and I was doing worldly things and I shouldn't have been doing them. But the Holy Ghost spoke to me that night and he said, "Child, you don't belong here." And I knew in my heart, my head sunk low because I knew I didn't belong to the world. I belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was dealing with me then. And I knew I'd grown cold in the world because my flesh, it's the lust of the flesh that will lead us away. That's what plucks us out of the hand of God. It's our free choice and our free will that takes us away from God. But we can't blame it on our mothers or fathers or pastors. It's our own doing. If we step out of the hand of God and his walk with him, it's our fault. It's no one else's. Because Jesus said, like Brother Green said, our relationship with God is secure in him. He's washed our past sins away. And it's a daily walk with God. And I know this much. If we seek his face and follow the true word of God, it's our roadmap. You know, it shouldn't be a dust collector in our home. It should be a walking roadmap to walk each day. And if we walk uprightly before God, then we can never be plucked out of the hand of God. And the Baptists have it right. but they just need to go further into it the way I believe. I know there's a deeper walk when we get involved with the Holy Spirit. He will reveal things to us that some don't quite understand. But like I said, I do love all Baptists. I love all Christians because I believe there's people, when the rapture is called, I believe in my heart there's going to be people from each denomination that will go because their heart is truly sold out to God. To be sold out to God is to truly live it. We can't just preach it and quote the scriptures. We have to do it. And I praise God for that. That's a lot of what I had tonight, Sister Green. I'm kind of grieved in my spirit because people get confused. They look at the world and they look back. They don't realize once they repented of their sin that they become new creatures in Christ. And we become new in Jesus. We no longer look back to the past. It's like if we look back, then we're going to follow and pick up things of the past, and that's going to lead us astray. But I know this much. If we keep our focus on the Father God, He will lead us to the ways of Jesus. And if we follow after Christ, we can't do wrong because we're a child of the King. And God said we're joint heirs with Jesus. And if we follow the pathway of Jesus, we'll walk in the ways of Him, and we can't do wrong. We just have to repent daily and know that we are new creatures in Christ. We start all over that day that we repent. And I praise God that that has been given to us. Salvation was created for us. And I thank Him for it, Sister Green.
Praise God. We appreciate you, Sister Gladys, and appreciate all the callers that have called in. And
were you able to catch all that, Sister Green?
Absolutely. We hear you really well. I do anyway. But, yes, that's all good. That's really like she said, like Sister Gladys is telling you, you could backslide in this. And, you know, in order to backslide, you have to have called on Him and asked Him to be your God and to repent of your sins. And I'll bet, like she's talking about, you can't go in on your mama and your grandma's skirt tail just because they were Pentecostal and they were born again. It doesn't mean that just automatically puts you in there. You have to ask for repentance of your sins to get your names written in that Lamb's Book of Life. And like Sister Gladys is telling you, if you get out in the world and you've already been born again and there's a grace, and we don't know how far that grace goes, there's like a space of repentance. And you come back to the Lord, and then you the Lord will clean you up. But you know, I was thinking there that in Revelation chapter... First, let's go to, I've got this on my mind, Luke chapter 10 says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." Verse 20 of Luke 10 says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." And in Revelation 22, and I'll try not to take too much time. I hope Brother Timothy is ready there. But Revelation 22 and 13, verse 13 says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, they that may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city, into the city." Verse 15 says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offering of David, and the bright morning star." And I believe we read this on our broadcast on Friday night, but the Lord, this is the subject tonight, is no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. That Sister Gladys was talking there. No one can take you out of His hand but you. If you sin, you're taking yourself out. And I'm going to show you here in a minute where God can blot your name out. In verse 17 of Revelation's chapter 22 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. See, you cannot do things of this world and expect to keep your name written there. I believe it was Judas Iscariot. When he betrayed Jesus, his name was blotted out. So it had to be there for it to be taken out. So your name can be in there. It's up to you to keep it in there. So, but nobody else, you can't say the devil made me do it. You can't say my neighbor made me do it. The people on my job made me do it. You're to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Shun the very appearance of evil. Shun the very appearance. Don't have nothing to do with it. Don't be a partaker. He said they have their reward, and I sure don't want to be one of them. I was thinking about how, and let's see if I can get to it here real quick. Praise God. I know in John, I was thinking of John 14, how he said to let your heart not be troubled. And I'm getting to that real quickly here. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way, praise God, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Praise God. And if you can read that there, Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So we can't go any other way except through Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you keep his commandments. On further down, he says, the work that I do, ye shall do also, even greater work shall ye do. And he said, I must go away expediently for your sake, that when I go away, he'll pray the Father that he send another comforter. So there's a way to walk in this. Jesus said, when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. He had done his part. Now we have to do our part. And he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. How do we get born again? We don't enter again for the second time in our mother's womb. We go to him by the water and the Spirit that we are to be born again. And that's repenting of your sins. And then you're baptized into the body of Christ. And then you do an outward, a water baptism that we've been talking about on our broadcast. There's three types of baptism. So when you get on your knees, or if you can't get on your knees, you find yourself a place to pray, and you ask God to forgive you of your sins. Then you are baptized into the body of Christ. You are accepted. He will accept you and write your name therein. And nobody can pluck you out of his hand. Nobody can take you out of that book, out of the Lamb's Book of Life, except you. Praise God. And John the Baptist, he was baptizing in water baptism for fruits of repentance. So once you have already repented of your sins, you go and you start doing your first works. And that's part of your first works, is to be baptized in water. And that's an outward testimony that you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after that, sometimes people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire before they're water baptized. But you must be born again. That's the most important right there thing. And then you, all these other things, you start taking steps until you're walking fully in the Lord. Praise God. And God is so good. He's so merciful. It's simple. It's a good life. Like Sister Gladys said, she was in a place one day and the Lord began to deal with her that she did not need to be in that place. And praise God. And God brought her out and brought her to repentance. Hallelujah. And she's here today preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And each one of us that's on this broadcast, we've had to do the same thing. Brother Timothy, do you have a song, brother?
Yeah.
Praise God. You go right ahead and obey the Lord.
Thinking of things beyond my control, ready to give up the fight. Weary and tired of carrying the load, I know there's nothing more I can do or say, and God says just give it to me. Then I whisper a prayer that only He hears, and I rest peacefully. I can pray aloud or silently. I can pray standing tall or on my knees. It really makes no difference, just that prayer is the key. Cause prayer changes things. And it changes me. Troubled Sunday seems so long. I can't help but wonder just when they will end. I know I'm supposed to be strong, and sometimes I don't think I'll ever win. That's when He tells me you won't without me, but in my strength alone. And when I begin to trust more in Him, I can sing a song. I can pray out loud or silently. I can pray standing tall. Wrong my knees. It really makes no difference. Just that prayer is the key. Cause prayer changes things, and it changes me. It really makes no difference. Just that prayer is the key. Cause prayer changes things, and it changes me.
Praise God. That's a wonderful song. And again, if you want to be part of this broadcast, it is 310-742-1759. And again, we want you to pray for the little boy that they took to the hospital. Pray God will heal his infection there. And Brother Yearwood can tell you more about it. Hopefully he'll get home in time. He may be able to join us here later. We've got a little bit less than an hour to go, so we thank the Lord for this broadcast. And the subject tonight, if you're just now tuning in, is that God can't pluck, or no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. Hallelujah. And Sister Gladys and Sister Frida and Brother Green, and they just shared with you scriptures, and praise the Lord. And I was thinking here while Brother Timothy was singing that song, you know, there's scripture and people have said this, and they want to kind of use this as an excuse that God is married to the backslider, and He is, and that is scripture. But that doesn't give them a free ticket to go do what they want, and that God's going to, just because they have given their heart to the Lord, their names in the Lamb Book of Life. Now they can get just go and be anything and satisfy the flesh and do everything. We've got to rightfully to divide the Scriptures. And he said, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, praise God, and line upon line, and precept upon precept. We've got to rightfully divide this. And he, a while ago, I read to you in Revelation, the whoremongers, the idolaters, and all them, they're going to have their part in the lake of fire if they don't get back right with the Lord. And, you know, being married to the backslider, you know, it was, I believe the scripture says it was better for them not to have put their hand to the plow and look back. It was better for that person than before he had even put his hand to the plow than to look back and go the other way. So, you know, he's going to continually deal with the backslider, and he's going to bring in remembrance, remember when you once served me, condition things, like Sister Gladys was a backslider. She went to a party, she said, and God began to deal with her. He was married to the backslider, to her, to deal with her. Some people get in a condition where they go way out. Sin will keep you take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever cared to pay for. And, you know, I may not have said that quite right, but, you know, some people go out so far that they can't even hear God draw them. They can't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. The Bible talks about being reprobate or being seared over with a hot iron. And, you know, God hates abominations. They stink in the nostrils of God. And so there's things in the Bible, if you got access to an internet and you look up in the King James Bible the word abomination and look up everything that's an abomination to God, things that he hates, I sure wouldn't want nothing to do with it. And, you know, there are some people out there, they're good people. They will help the poor. They will do all they can to help their neighbor. And just because they're a good person, that doesn't mean that you're going to make it in. But, you know, you have a chance right now under the sound of our voice here tonight. You have a chance to make it in and to have your name written therein in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have to repent. That's the only way that you're going to make it. If you are a backslider, you have to come back like the prodigal son. He had to come back to the Father's house. Praise the Lord. And we're going to get Brother John. I believe that's his number there. Brother John, are you ready?
I'm ready whenever you are, Sister Green.
Praise God. Go ahead, brother, and obey the Lord. We've got plenty of time.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity again, and praise the Lord. I know I didn't get here. Got in a couple times and was hindered tonight, and then when I did get in, I think I was when you were having trouble with the broadcast, and it actually went off there for a little bit. But anyhow, I know some of you have already covered, but God, the Holy Spirit was really dealing with me out of John chapter 10, and I know a lot of you have already given this, but maybe I won't come with the same path. Maybe I can add to, and as far as not add to the word, but add to what has already been spoken. But here in John chapter 10, and we are talking about no man can pluck you out of the hands of God, but here in John chapter 10, starting with verse 22, it says, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. What had happened here is that they had differences of opinion of whether he was the Christ or not. They had differences of opinion of whether, you know, tonight we need to know that a house divided cannot stand. And amen, it was talking about, amen, this was right after he had healed the eyes of the man who was born blind. And amen, and as they came, amen, as the eyes were opened, and so there was contrary. That some wanted to believe that he was the Christ, and some weren't really sure, and amen. And so there was confusion, amen, and division. The Bible says that there in verse 22, says that they were at Jerusalem at the Feast of the Dedication. The Feast of the Dedication was an annual feast. Amen. It was commemorating, amen, the restoration, amen, of the temple. And tonight we need to know that we need to commemorate, amen, and keep, amen, the restoration of the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. Amen. And it's time for a restoration. As he was there, he began to, amen, to go to the to and be a partaker of the feast. You know, the Bible speaks, I believe it's in Isaiah 58, amen, speaking of the Lord. Isaiah 58 was talking about, amen, the scriptures talking about the fast that God had chosen. And at the end of that he was talking about there, in verse, let me turn over there to Isaiah 58, I believe it's 11 and 12, I think it is. Yeah, and it says there in verse 11 says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones, thou shalt be like a water garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. In other words, those that shall be of the Lord. Those that are coming, amen, they're building the old waste places. They're rebuilding. There's a restoration, amen, hallelujah. God gives us the gift of restoration. He gives us a ministry of reconciliation. You know, I didn't get to hear what Sister Glass and some of those the other ministers and preachers were speaking about. But, amen, there is a restoration, and amen, it's that feast that he's talking about here. And the Bible says, they shall raise up the foundation of many generations, amen. Hallelujah. So those that were of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that were in the hand of God, hallelujah, have begun to build the old waste places, amen, have begun to build on that old cornerstone, have begun, amen, to not remove the old landmarks, the word of God, amen, and to begin to stand fast, amen, whether liberty were with Christ had set them free. You know, the Bible says in Galatians, amen, 5 and 1, stand fast and in liberty, wherewith Christ, the anointed one, has set you free. Amen. You know, the Bible teaches us, hallelujah, well, let me go ahead and finish this. It says, shall raise the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That's what the Lord wants to do tonight. He wants to restore, amen. He wants to repair the breach. He wants to repair the breach that's been between you and him in your walk. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants to restore the paths. Amen. He wants to build the paths back that you can come back to the Lord. You know, just as they were, Brother and Sister Green was speaking about this, talking about the backslider, talking about, amen, hallelujah. You know, the Bible teaches, I believe it's in Isaiah 10, 27, it says, in that day shall the yoke, amen, be destroyed. Let me turn over there, too, because I don't want to really paraphrase it. I want to speak out what it says there. I believe it's in Isaiah 10, 27 and 28, I believe, or 26 and 27. So then the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb, and as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. In other words, as Moses, amen, at that time, there's a different time, but talking about using the rod. You know, the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd, amen, I shall not want. In Psalms 23, talks about that the rod and the staff, amen, of the shepherd, they covered us tonight, church. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in 26, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. In other words, these are the things, amen, that have come against you, the Assyrian, the world, amen. They were talking about things of the world and the oppression of the world and things coming off there and going there just like Sister Glass said, going to that party. And these things were that oppression. These things were as that burden, amen, when they come on there. These things were that where you were yoked. And all of a sudden, but the anointing, Christ, the anointed one, amen, hallelujah, came. And the Bible says, hallelujah, that in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck because of the anointing. In other words, that the anointing of the Christ, the anointing of the Messiah, the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into your life destroyed the yoke. That which is destroyed can't be put back together. It's not something, amen. He restores the breach. He restores the past, but you can't restore that yoke because it's going to be destroyed by the power of Christ when he comes in and sets you free. He's been anointed to set you free. Let's go back, amen, to John chapter 10. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in John chapter 10, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Now, we don't think too much about that scripture, but I want you to notice something there. The Bible speaks on earlier in John chapter 10, talking when he's talking to the porter. He asks the porter there in John chapter 10, and verse 3, it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You have to understand something about a shepherd. A shepherd goes before the sheep. He doesn't send the sheep out before he goes. The shepherd goes out before the flock. He leads them out. They follow. Tonight we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, not to go out before him, hallelujah, but we are to follow him as, amen, even as the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You have to understand that the porter is the under shepherd who would keep, amen, the sheep of the certain shepherds and their flock, amen, at night. And then he would go, and those shepherds, amen, would go to the porter, amen. They entered in by the door, amen, because tonight, if they come in any other way, they're a thief and a robber. We must come through the door. Jesus is that door to the sheepfold tonight, church. There's no other way that we can get in, amen. Hallelujah. I believe one of the ministers, preachers tonight, had already spoke about that he was the way, the truth, and the life, amen. He is the only way, hallelujah. And we find tonight, amen, that as he's speaking of that he goes before them. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. And they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. You have to understand tonight that his sheep, of that shepherd, amen, will follow only the voice of the shepherd. Tonight we need to know the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know the voice, amen, because the scriptures teach us, amen, that God's sheep will not follow the voice of a stranger. We need to hear and know the discernment in the tones of the voice of God. But we also need to know that he went out before him. And when I was thinking about that, as God, I began to read this in verse 23, I thought about the man in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, when Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Now I thought about a man outside the gate, beautiful, there in Acts chapter 3. A man, the Bible says, there was an hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3, and Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So this man had not walked a day in his life from his mother's womb. Every day he was carried, was not able to enter into the temple, was not able to enter into worship, was not able to enter in under his own power, but every day he laid right outside the realm, hallelujah, of the temple, amen, right outside the gate. Hallelujah, he couldn't enter in under his own power. And every day he was laid there daily to receive alms, which is benevolence, amen, to the poor. And the Bible says that he laid there, but this day was a different day. Let me tell you something tonight, church. This day is a different day for each one of you that's underneath the sound of the voices of these ministers tonight. Because this is the day that you don't have to lay outside the realm of God anymore. This is the day, amen, that you can come on and enter in, because Jesus walked, amen, and went before you under Solomon's porch, went before this lame man. And the Bible says, amen, that Peter fascinated, he saw Peter and John there, verse 3, about to go into the temple and ask of them of alms. In other words, have you got something to give me tonight? Have you got something to give me before you go into the temple in prayer? And the Bible says, amen, that Peter said in verse 6, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I in thee. There was something that Peter had. He didn't have silver. He didn't have gold. He didn't have a name. He didn't have alms. But there's one thing he did have. He had the name of Jesus. And tonight, there's one thing that we need tonight, and that's the name of Jesus. We need to have that name. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and he took him by the right hand, hallelujah, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones. We need to know tonight one thing, that God is reaching out to the hand of life. Amen. Hallelujah. As Peter and John was there at the hour of prayer, we are all many members, particularly the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ reached out and lifted him up, even though, as Peter said, it was the hand of God. It was the hand of the Father. It was the hand of the Son. It was the hand of the name. And as the name of Jesus Christ reached out, the Bible says immediately his life was changed. Immediately, amen. And tonight, church, silver is not going to change your life. It might change your bank account, but it's not changing your life. tonight, and probably that million. I heard some of them talking about the mega millions. I guess it's nationwide here in the United States, amen, being second largest. But you know what? There's a bigger, amen, there's a bigger treasury tonight, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 1, he's ready to choose a good name and then silver or gold, or his loving favor and then great riches tonight. Amen. And they walked, amen, into the temple. And, amen. And the Bible said, going on down there to verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto him in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And here's this man that laid outside for time and time and time. But now he walked under his own power under Solomon's porch. But see, if you go back over there in John chapter 10, Jesus had already been that way. Jesus had entered into the temple of Solomon's porch. Jesus had went before him. What did he say? He said, I go before you. And he said, and they hear my voice. Amen. Amen. And they heard the voice. They heard the voice. It was Peter speaking, but the words were the words of the Lord. And it was the name of the Lord. And when the name of the Lord came here, that lame man walked. You know, the Bible teaches us, amen, and going on, let me go ahead and go back to John chapter 10 because I want to lay a foundation here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The Bible says in verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. If you're the anointed one, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You have to understand something tonight about the Father's works, church. Only the true sons and daughters of God can do the Father's works. The Bible says in John chapter 14, these works shall ye do, and greater works, because I go unto the Father. He said, believe me for the Father's works, because the Father's works, he does what he saw the Son done with the Father's. The Father handed his works to the Son. And only the sons of God, only the sheep of God can do the works of the Father. And the Bible says, believe me for that. But they didn't believe him. The Bible says, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Jesus was a stranger to them, because they were not of his flock. The Bible says, when John, who was a watchman, the Bible says, I set thee as a watchman on the wall in Ezekiel, amen. Hallelujah. He said, if you warn not, amen, when you see the thing, the sword, the different things come upon the land, he said, I set you in a tower. And he said, here's what we're doing tonight. He said, if you see a man doing wickedness, you ought to warn him. Amen. If he doesn't turn from his wicked ways, then he shall still die in his sins. But the blood of that man was upon the hands. And John, amen, had came against Herod and Herodias because they had an adulterous relationship. That Herodias being the wife of Philip, Herod's brother. And they had entered in, and John spoke against them. That this, just like Sister Green talked about, abomination. That adulterous relationship was an abomination. John began to deliver the blood of Herodias and Herod off his hands as he began to warn them of their wicked ways. But as he began to warn them in their wicked ways, amen, he was struck and put into prison. And the Bible says, he said, now when in Matthew 11 it says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, remember the works of Christ was the works of the Father. He had heard of the works. He said, He said, believe me for the work's sake. This was not the works of the Son. This was the works of the Father. This was the works of the Anointed One given to him by the Father. And he said, in the prison, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. You need to know something tonight. Right where you're at, you can be in prison. You can be in a hospital. You can be in a nursing home. You can be in countries that are bound. But you know what? You can hear of Christ's works. This is Christ's works that we're doing here tonight. This is the Lord's works, amen, and it's marvelous in your eyes. And the Bible says, and he said unto them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whomsoever shall not be offended in me. Everyone but you know what's so good about this? I read to you in Acts chapter 3 about the lame man walking. The physical presence of the body of Jesus Christ had already ascended unto heaven. But he was still doing the Father's works. And even though John, amen, was already gone, and Jesus physically was already gone tonight, even in his name, the lame are still walking tonight, church. The blind are still receiving their sight. The lepers are being cleansed. And the deaf are hearing. And the dead are raised up. And the poor of the gospel preached to them. Because he's left his name within us. He's left his name within, amen, hallelujah, within the lives of the believers. Those, amen. Let's go on back to John chapter 10. He said, if you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Everyone that's of his flock follows him. We need to know tonight, hallelujah. The Bible says, I believe it's in Isaiah 40, verse 11 and 12. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. There's a gently leading, amen. He's going to feed his flock like a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the Bible says he shall gather the lambs with his arm. With his own arm he brought salvation. The Bible says, who hath believed the Lord's report? Who hath believed the arm of the Lord? Do you believe the arm tonight who will bring you and gather you unto his arm and into his bosom and carry you? And if he's carrying you, that means you're in his hands. And shall gently lead those that are with you on. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the depths of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance. Church, tonight he measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. He meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended how much of the dust was in the earth, in the hand. He took a measure and weighed the mountain in the scales and the hills in the balance. He put the mountains in the balance in the scales and weighed it all out to a perfect balance tonight. And all this by the hand. There's perfection, amen, being in the hand of God. And the Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life. He shall feed them as a flock. What does he feed you with? Green pastures. Pastures that will give you life. Green represents life and where he leads you. As you follow him, everywhere you feed is life, because he's life. He brings you only to the good pastures. He's the door to the sheepfold. He leads you only to the still waters, the waters of tranquility, the waters of peace, perfect waters, waters of life, rivers of life that he drinks. He doesn't give you anything deadly. He said, I will give them to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. In other words, they shall never die. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You have to understand something about this, church. You have to be his sheep tonight to be even be in his hand.
Amen.
And like I said there, amen, the name. Because, see, you have to have the name. You have to be a part of that flock. You have to be a part of God's flock tonight to be in the hand of God. As I believe it's in Isaiah 49 that I was going to read earlier. Let me turn over to that. Isaiah 49. And let me get over there to it. Isaiah 49 and verse 13 says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Here the Lord has comforted his people. It's time for the heavens to sing. It's time for the earth to be joyful. It's time for the mountains to break forth into singing. Because the Lord has comforted his people, his sheep, his flock. They're in his hand. No man can take his sheep out of his hand. A man that's trying to take them out is an unsaved man, an unlearned man, a man who has not come to know him. See, even there in the book of Acts, chapter 17, it talked about that in Athens there was very little, amen, as the Apostle Paul went there before the Epicureans and before the Stoics, the philosophers there in Acts chapter 17. He said, I beheld your devotions. In other words, I beheld your object of worship. And there was an altar, there was an inscription to the unknown God. And there are many of you, I need to sound my voice, I hope that you know who the one and only true God is, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Because there are churches, there are even atheists tonight that are holding churches, amen. They're having devotion to an unknown God. He said, you ignorantly worship him. They didn't know the one that they were worshiping. Tonight, you need to, he said, my sheep know my voice. And I am one of them. Tonight, those of you that are in the hand of God have to be a part of his flock, have to be a part of his sheep, have to be, amen, and just like they've said earlier, I know that they said, there's nothing, there's no power that can take you out and pluck you and catch you up out of the hand of God. The Bible says, hallelujah, he said, I've engraven thee in the palms of thy hand. He said, can a woman forget her sucking child or have made her attire? He said, but yet here, he said, I've engraven thee. Tonight, church, his flock, his hands, his sheep are in the hands of God, engraven. Engraven by the nail hole. Engraven by the nail hole that was put in the hand of God, on the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. You've been engraven. He said, thy laws are continually before me. Thy ways. He knows the ways. Those ways of the sheep. Because the Bible says, what happens with sheep? We, like all sheep, have gone astray. But we can return unto the shepherd. Return unto the good shepherd tonight. Return unto the good shepherd. The good shepherd has laid down his life for the sheep. And the Bible says this, and I'm going to give it back to Brother and Sister Green. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, in other words, every sheep of the flock of the shepherd of the Son, was given to him by the Father. He said, that which you have given to me, I have not lost one, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Tonight, when you're in the hands of the Father, you're in the hands of the Son, because there is one hand reaching out. Tonight, are you a sheep that's in the hand of God? Then you're in good hands. And it's not all state, but it's all God and the one and only God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are in the hands of God. You've been engraven there. Stick in there. And what he gives you tonight, when you're in his hand, is eternal life. Good pastures, divine water. He said, I'll give you a drink that you never thirst again. Why would you want to go anywhere else? John chapter 6. He said, except you eat of my blood and drink of my flesh, or drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you have no part of me. And he said, at that time, many disciples walked away. And he turned to Peter. He said, Peter, will you also go away? Church tonight, will you also go away out of the hand of God? Or will you be like Peter? Where can we go, Lord? For thou hast the words of life. Tonight, church, are you in the hands of the shepherd? He's laid down his life. If you don't believe me, just look at his hand, just like Thomas. He said, except I thrust my hand in his upper hands, I shall not believe. He said, Thomas, behold my hands. And he said, my Lord and my God. Tonight is he your Lord and God. Just look at his hands and know you're right there. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God. If Brother John's talking to you, you need to find yourself a place to pray and and just accept Christ as your Savior and hold him dear forever. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And I was thinking, his brother, Pastor John, was preaching there, what would you give in exchange for your soul, came to me. When he was talking about the man at the gate called Beautiful, silver and gold have they none, but such as they had, they gave unto him, and which was Jesus Christ. And that's what we're trying to tell you tonight, that we're trying to tell you about Jesus. He is the only way. Praise God. Brother Timothy, do you have a song again tonight, brother?
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother, and obey the Lord, and we're going to take prayer requests after that.
Okay. If you had known me then, the way I was before, then you'd understand why I can't hold back the tears. Now my life is so different since I gave it to the Lord. And I want to give him glory while I'm here. I stand before you knowing that it's only by his grace that I am just what I am today. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of his love. I'm part of the results from the old ragged cross that was stained with his precious blood. So I'll never understand why he died in my place. Just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Though there is no way I can repay his love, for the mercy he's shown is more than life to me. There's nothing I can do or say that would be enough to pay the debt of sin he paid for me. My life is testimony of his mercy, love, and grace. And one day I will thank you face to face. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of his love. I'm part of the result from the old rugged cross that was stained with his precious blood. So I'll never understand why he died in my place. Just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace.
Praise God. That's a beautiful song there. And we just thank God for everyone that's called in and been a part of this broadcast tonight. If you want to call in, it's 310-742-1759. And we want you and Sister Yearwood. And remember the child that's in their home that they're taking care of. Pray that his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet would be healed. And we're going to ask Sister Frida, do you have a, praise God, do you have a prayer request tonight, sis?
Dad's doing great. Dad is doing good. Everybody's hanging in here. And I just keep the family in prayer because it's, you know, some days are going to be better than others and other days are going to be, but we're still hanging in there. I remember Sister Robin. She's not been feeling good, so she's got a head cold in her chest. And I said, you need to get that checked out, but she's been staying in. So that's the only two that I know of right off the top of my head.
Praise God. Remember that in prayer. And Sister Gladys, you want to tell us where your church is located and also turn in, if you'd like, sis, if you have a prayer request or even a testimony, that'd be great.
Church is located at 63 Abundance of Rain, 6367 U.S. 60 East, in Polkville, which is Salt Lake. And you're welcome to come for hours or on Sunday.
Praise the Lord. I believe we've lost connection with her there. She was given her church. She goes to Pastor Wayne Giffert's church in Salt Lake, or Salt Lick, there in Kentucky. Pastor John, do you want to tell us, brother, you if you have a prayer request or a praise report, either way, and also let us know where your church is located and your services.
Okay, I appreciate that, Sister Green. We've had some people, I can't really say a whole lot about it other than we've had some people that were shot, I believe it's today. They're in a hospital in a town nearby, they own the business, and just remember them in prayer, a couple of them. And also we've had, not so much in Thomason, but in some of the local cities around here, there's been a lot of break-ins, a lot of house, people breaking into the houses and taking Christmas presents, and there's some ongoing investigation on some of this, so I can't really go into details of that. But just remember that this time that, and ask the Lord for divine protection. We also got some people traveling here this weekend that for divine traveling protection, and I just praise the Lord for what He's doing. Our church is at 114 East Main Street. We have Sunday service. We're just having one service on Sundays right now at 2 p.m. and then Wednesday night service at 6 p.m. If you're in the area, please come be with us, and we just praise the Lord for what He's doing and answering prayer for this broadcast and all of you. Amen. And just the privilege to be with all of you and be able to preach His gospel.
Praise God. And I believe Sister Frida goes to church there with you. Is that right, brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so and we go to Heavenly Highway Tabernacle. That is Pastor Brother Billy Wilson and also Pastor Brother Merle Seeley, and the church is located at 5990 Middletown, Ohio. So if you're in our location there and you're looking for a church to go to, we encourage you to come. The service times are at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10, Sunday night at 6:30 p.m., and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. So we welcome you all. And if you're in down in Georgia, we encourage you to visit there with Pastor John Samples. And if you're in the Salt Lake City of Kentucky, we encourage you to stop by and see Pastor Wayne Gifford. Praise the Lord. And we just appreciate this broadcast tonight. And I believe, Brother Green, we want you to remember, before I turn it back to Brother Green, remember the broadcast here with Brother and Sister Yearwood. It's every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's until 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And we also have a broadcast on Friday night. It's called blogtalkradio.com/ The Macedonian Call Around the Globe. And we're on Friday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we welcome you all to just join in there with us, and we thank God for you. And if you're listening here tonight, we encourage you to pray. And I pray to Jesus that to forgive you of your sins. And back to Brother Green.
Praise God.
Before you go off, let's pray.
I appreciate all the good things that have been said, and we're on here tonight reaching the world for Christ. And we're helping out Brother Lloyd Yearwood, and he's the evangelist that has this program, and I'm sure most of you listen in and know it, but maybe you're a first-time listener. But we're just on here trying to encourage you to give your heart to Christ if you're not a Christian tonight. And Brother John has preached there on the sheep, and I want to say something about the sheep tonight also. Over here in Luke chapter 15, in Luke 15, it says here, it talks about the lost sheep, and a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And it says in verse 1 and 15 of Luke, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? So he's telling these Pharisees and Sadducees, these scribes, it says here, it was Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So Jesus was responding back to what they were saying, and he's telling them, and now these are people that's supposed to be concerned about souls, these Pharisees and scribes, but they were not concerned. They did not have the plan of salvation as Jesus had it. They had a plan, but it was the old order of how things were done. And you'd take an animal and you'd lay your hands on that animal, and your sins be transmitted to that animal, and then you kill the animal. Well, this was the type of Christ, and but the ones that was doing this were was the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests, the religious people, and they had this going, and you brought your tithes into the storehouse there in Malachi, and there was different things that they had to do, and they had to do it God's way. But as far as love and compassion, these people, many of them did not have it. And Jesus came in flesh to die on that cross, and our sins would be laid upon him, just as though the sins were laid upon the animal in the Old Testament. But the thing about it was, in the Old Testament, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin. So what they were a type and a shadow of Christ to come. So when Christ came, he was that sacrifice, the true sacrifice. He was the true bread of God. He was the light. He was the living water. He was everything they needed. And he turned the water into wine. He could walk on water. He fed the hungry multitude with a few loaves of fish and bread. A few loaves of bread and fish, excuse me. And so they were murmuring against him. He was doing these miracles that no man could do. And John came to him one night, there by night. One John, it was in the book of John, chapter 3, Nicodemus came to him by night, and he was one of these leaders. And he said, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And we know that you're a teacher come from God. So there were some of these men that were going to be changed, and they were going to accept Christ. After that, he died at the cross, and he gave his life. But he was talking about the sheep in the wilderness, and he said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness? See, they weren't going out and trying to check on their people. If they wanted salvation, they had to come to the temple, and if they didn't see them, well, it didn't make no difference to them, probably. They didn't have the love of God like they needed it. It says, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So he was going out there trying to get the sheep that were lost and trying to get them back to the fold and trying to get them to understand that he was the shepherd and that he had the voice of the shepherd, which was talked about earlier. You know, if a man don't need to be saved, why, there's no sense of going after him. But see, we got a go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come to his house that they might be saved. Because if they come into his house, in the Word of God, and the voice of the shepherd will change their heart if they will apply their heart, and if it's preached with an anointing from God, if it's preached with ministers that are called of God and they have put their life on hold, so to speak, they've given their life to God and they're sanctified, they're set apart, and they're not running after everything the world's got to offer, but they're running after Christ and they're running after the Word of God. And like we said earlier about over there in 1 John, I believe it was, chapter 2, we talked about loving not the world, the things that are in the world. And we're talking about tonight, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. But you see, you can go off on your own. You can wander out there in the wilderness, and you can get out there on them mountains of sin, and you can get out there and be lost. And if somebody don't come out and find you, if the Lord don't come and get a hold on you, you're going to be lost. And God has put shepherds over the flock, and many times the pastor might call you and say, are you doing okay, or we haven't seen you in a while, and what's going on? And you know, sometimes people get upset about that, but a true child of God will thank that pastor because he cared. And even if they don't come to your church, they may go somewhere else, at least you have shown them the love of God, and you let them know that you care. And a lot of pastors tonight are good pastors, and they need to, you know, they get tired, they grow weary of well doing, but you need to consider, if you've got a good pastor, you know, you need to uphold that pastor and you need to support him, you know, with your prayers and however you can help them out if they need help. Maybe you can help put a roof on the church building, and maybe they can't afford to pay you or something. But, you know, God will pay you. He'll see that you get paid. And there's a record being made. And a lot of people tonight just want what they can get in this life. But I tell you, there is a world to come. There is a life after this life. And if we're a Christian tonight, we shall never die. We died to sin. The old man died when we came to Christ, but the new man lives forever, and we've got eternal life. And, well, I'm not doing too good about this tonight, but I'm doing the best I can. And the Bible says here, not only did they lose a sheep, but a woman lost a coin. He said, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Well, you see, that piece of silver was important to her, and that piece of silver was precious. And your soul tonight is precious, and God's seeking you to find you, that you'll give your heart to God. And I believe it's time to pray, and I'll turn this back to Joanna.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray over our prayer request, and also remember the prayer request that Sister Betty normally turns in, then with cancer, and just pray. Praise God. Let's go to prayer now.
Heavenly Father,
Lord Jesus, God, we ask that you touch each and every prayer request, dear Lord, turned in tonight, God. We ask that you touch Sister Frida, God, and her family, Lord, and uplift them, encourage them, Lord, in this time, Lord, of their loss. And God, we thank you, God, for almighty blessings, Lord. We thank you for our moms and our dads that ran the race, dear God, and have made heaven their home, dear God, and the prayers of the saints that are bottled up before you, God, that you remember the prayers of your saints. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Touch the brother and sister Yearwood, Lord, and touch the little boy, dear God, with the infection, Lord. God, you know all about it, dear Lord Jesus. And Brother John's prayer request, dear Lord, and all the crime that's going on around the towns there in Georgia and all over the world, dear God. We ask you to protect people, Lord, in Psalms 91, dear God, in Psalms 23, Lord, that you're our shepherd, dear God. Lord Jesus, and Sister Gladys, Lord, prayer request that she's turned in for Brother Mobley, Lord, Brother Kenny Mobley, the pastor there, Lord, and the young man, the young boy that's in Israel, Yashai, Lord God, you know his name, dear Lord, Trevor, touch his body, Lord, there in the Air Force, God, you know right there who he is, dear Lord, and what he has need of, dear God. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you send souls, dear God, to Brother Wayne Gifford and his church there, and send souls to Brother Samples, dear Lord. And Jesus, God, we praise you. Send in the harvest, dear Lord, and God, make laborers and help, God, and the people that will just want to not cause no trouble, but just to join in and help the churches, Lord, and in unity, God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen their hands, Lord. Touch this broadcast, Lord. Anybody under the sound of our voice, Lord, if they don't know you, Lord, draw them by your spirit, dear God, to an altar of prayer, Lord.
God, work your work, Lord.
And touch Simpson, dear Lord, that broke her sternum, Lord, in a car wreck yesterday. God, touch her ankle, Lord, there in the hospital where she is. Lord Jesus, you see what a missionary work that her and her husband do in other countries, dear God. Lord Jesus, we praise you, God. We ask you, Lord, to give Amanda Simpson a miracle, Lord, and heal her body. In the name of Jesus.
Find favor in your sight, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we ask these things, Lord.
Praise God. Again, we want to thank each and every caller, and you guys have encouraged us tonight, and we just thank the Lord that he wants us to be instant in season and out, praise the Lord, and just be ready when the Lord calls upon us to do a work, that we're ready and we're armed and we're ready to go to battle, praise the Lord. And the message has been wonderful tonight, and Don't know what the message is going to be for next Tuesday, but I'm sure Brother Yearwood will be getting a hold of us, and we'll just go with that. And we're down to 1 second, and we'll see you all next Tuesday. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless.
God bless.
God bless y'all.